And we're grateful we can live that. It's not; those are not just words. That's the practice of life when we serve the Lord. Jesus taught his followers to pray. He gave us a template. And he said, when you pray, he said, say, our Father. And he used the word that shocked them because the practicing Jewish people would never speak God's name publicly anywhere. They had such reverence for him and fear of him. They would never speak his name. And Jesus says, now, when you pray, I want you to say, Abba, Daddy. They've never heard anyone ever refer to God as Daddy. It's a common word throughout all the Middle East. You know it. Anytime a child is running through a neighborhood calling for Daddy, Abba, Abba. It's a term that says there's an endearment, there's care, there's love, and we are to pray to a father that the scripture talks to us about when it says, as God told Moses to tell Aaron, he said, when you pray, he said, lift your hands over the people and say, may the Lord bless you. And it's a similar rendition, Barak your people, Barak them. And the picture is the same exact word as you look it up in Genesis 24, when Abraham loaded the camels with all kinds of expensive gifts. And he took those camels, the servant did, looking for a wife for Abraham's son. And when they arrived at the well, the camels were made to kneel down, laden with gifts. They baraked. They got down. And then they presented blessings and blessed the one that was focused on. And when Father says, I want to bless you, he's kneeling down, loaded with gifts, saying, come on, come to Dad, come to me. I've got everything you need. Thank the Lord for that kind of a father. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. In Genesis 45, it says, so now it was not you who sent me. He's speaking to his brothers. This is Joseph. He's speaking to his brothers who have now come to find out that Joseph is second in charge of the empire of Egypt. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So Father, we honor you. Abba, thank you for loving us so much, for caring about us in such detail. In fact, more than that, before we were formed, you knew us, you planned us, you strategized our lives and wrote the book of our lives. So we honor you today. Accomplish all you need to in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's something about God's presence. When we come and worship, and the presence of God is so rich and real to us. That's why we still do Sunday nights most of the time, because we have opportunity to stand in his presence, to wait in his presence. You got to have his presence. Listen, I'm with my daddy when I'm in his presence. And men become little boys again. And we're thankful for a daddy that cares about us, because I know I'm in the presence of someone who's greater than I and stronger than I am. And he has everything under control when I don't. And whenever I accomplish, it's because of him, because of my daddy. So I'm not oppressed today because my father is here. And as long as daddy's here, it's going to be all right. Let me take a few moments because we want to roll with this word today. I want to speak about where God wants to take us, not only as his people, but for our fathers in particular, because God's destined you to lead a family. And in my text, Joseph is speaking to his brothers, and I've walked you sufficiently through the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream as a young man. You remember when he shared it with his brothers, that along with Jacob's favor in that beautiful coat of many colors offended his brothers. Later, when he shared his dream with his own father and mother, it offended them too. But his dream manifested after a long wilderness journey of tests. And Joseph is no longer a slave, neither is he a prisoner. He's a free man. And when Joseph made his statement to his brothers, he shares some beautiful insights into fatherhood. Because the definition of a father is ascertained from researching God's word. A man who exercises care for other people. In specifics, protection. One who brings provision. It's paternal. And I found the words protector and provider. And excites me because those two words parallel the names of our Father God. Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd, my protector. Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Thank God he provides for us. Amen? And those two names in Scripture defining a father help us to understand what we dads should be like and what we're supposed to look like. There are other descriptions of God in the Word. In fact, there are hundreds of them as you look at the Scripture. But they reveal different facets of the character and personality of our God. And some of the things that we remember of our Heavenly Father that should be modeled in us as protectors and providers. My Father knows what I need. As my earthly father knew what I needed, he also knew what I desired. And like an earthly father, and I know I've done this, I would take stuff that I knew that they wanted and I would hold it until the right time, and I already had it in place before I ever gave it to them. That's the way my Heavenly Father is too. He knows the things I desire and he prepares them and waits for the right time and knows I'm ready, and then he delivers them to us. And you see this in Joseph, how God did that in his life. God had a dream for this man, and God prepared a place for him to serve more than I believe he understood. And at the right time, God gave it to him. And my Heavenly Father loves us enough to discipline us and train me and teach me because it's for my future good. And an earthly father should love enough to get past the, I don't like you anymore, and I don't love you, and I'm angry with you because of the way that you're disciplining me. Get way past that and say, I love you too much to let that stop me. I'm not your friend, I'm your father, and I'm here to train you and discipline you. I used to wonder why my dad used to take specific tracks with me until I became a father. And then I began to realize, oh, now I know. Now I understand why he took care of me the way that he did. And I'm also charged by God to be a provider. Those, Paul said, who don't care for their own, especially their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. That's pretty strong stuff. So, Dad, that's a charge to us. And I see time and again, as I look back in Genesis 41, the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? And that should be who we are as fathers, a man in whom is the Spirit of the Lord. I wanted to know why Joseph would describe himself this way to his own brothers. Joseph had come to Egypt as a slave. Now he describes himself as the father to Pharaoh. And I can understand his fatherly image toward his own brothers. I can understand that taking that position toward those who were in need and dependent upon his skill sets to make sure they didn't starve during famine. And I didn't grasp why he said he's become a father to the Pharaoh. So I searched and I saw how Pharaoh describes Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. See, these were the qualities that Pharaoh saw in Joseph. These God characteristics caused Joseph to yield to the wisdom residing, caused Pharaoh to yield to the wisdom residing in Joseph. And to understand there was something about this young man that was unlike any of the magicians or counselors he had around him. Joseph understood that he could not give the interpretation of a dream and all the consequences. He understood there's a God that I serve who will give me the interpretation. And he said, I don't have the wherewithal in myself, but I am in touch with the one who will give me the interpretation of your dream. Dad, you need to be in touch with God. You need to have relationship with him on behalf of your kids. And Pharaoh shares with Joseph the dream. He described 7 fat, healthy cows coming up out of the river. And after that, the word describes that he saw 7 skinny, ugly cows coming up out of the river. And Pharaoh put it like this, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. Wow, I wonder if anybody ever painted that picture. And as the ugly cows consumed the fat, healthy cows, and he described 7 stalks of grains that had sprouted, and they were really good and healthy, and 7 more that sprang up, and they consumed the fat, full and healthy stalks. Both illustrations were revealing 7 years. And Joseph told Pharaoh, the 2 dreams related to the same circumstances that were about to happen in the land of Egypt. He said, there will be 7 years of great plenty, more than enough. And when those 7 years end, there will be another 7 years that will consume the previous 7 years. And he said, because of the latter 7 years of famine, you will not be able to benefit from the previous 7 years of more than enough. So he walks Pharaoh through the dream. And Pharaoh now has the interpretation of the dream, but doesn't know what to do in the event of this catastrophic matter happening of famine in the whole land. Joseph goes on to tell Pharaoh, you need a planner who can help you avoid a national disaster, who has wisdom to be able to plan for this. See, we've been through some things in our journey, but I believe there are some better things yet ahead. I believe God has provision for us, and not just days or weeks or months, but in years. God has a time for us that will make us forget about all that happened yesterday. I've become so careful before the Lord to be sure what I lay before you, what I say, is not just what I have in my own cognizance as a man. I've been intentional to make sure I don't walk in the flesh, because you're too valuable to God for me to mishandle you. You're too critical to the kingdom of God to be mishandled. I want to be certain I move with the Spirit of the Lord and have what Joseph possessed, the Spirit of God in me, not the spirit of a man. And I've stepped into a season where God made me to know we will see his dynamic provision and protection because he's our Father. And Joseph is speaking of 7 years of plenty. And I can hardly wait to see what my Father is going to do in the next 7 years. I'm excited. And when we began this year, and we started in January of 2018, all of a sudden, my life began to shift. It was like the sand was moving under my feet. There was a level of favor that came on my life. I could have never imagined how God, in his infinite wisdom, took care of some things. Suddenly, and I love God's suddenlies. God says, I'm bringing you into a new season because of all the hell you've been through. God will turn things around, revealing himself as Abba on our behalf. 7 years of blessing. And the question, we need to know how to facilitate the 7 years of blessing. How do we put them in play? Well, one thing is you don't splurge in the productive years. Just because you have it all doesn't mean you do it all. You must have business sense when you have increase. You must know how to store up when you have increased resources. Because a moment is coming, a season released on us, a season of God's assignment. And in the assignment, we'll need a Joseph mentality to know what to do in this season that's breaking on us. Do I feel favored towards my Heavenly Father? Yes, I do. And so should you. We are in the hands of an amazing Father. A good God. I've come to know God wants each of us to know him as Father, as Abba. He wants us to also have spiritual fathers on earth, to help us guide our steps. And when God calls a man to be father, when you sit in the seat of God's authority, you better be equipped to hold it down. God wants you equipped to be a protector and a provider as a father. Any male can father a child, but not all men are ready to be fathers. When I bring God's truth to you, I stand in my role as shepherd of the flock of God, your spiritual father. I'm not here to take everything from you. I'm here to bring everything to you. That's the role. And when a real father's in the house, there's safety there. There's nothing to worry about. A true father doesn't come to you with themselves on their mind. They come to you figuring out how to advance you in your destiny, maximize you in your seasons in the Lord. And why does a father work so hard and sacrifice? Because he loves to see his family flourish, to be provided for, and to be protected. God spoke to my spirit, and I've known my role as an earthly father. I also know my purpose as a spiritual father. God wants to take Calvary Christian Center to its destiny. He needs a spiritual father to lead his people, and that's why he provides you with a pastor. So I ask you on this Father's Day, let a little bit of my influence get on your life. Let a little bit of my influence get on your life. You may be an entrepreneur, a laborer, a professional. No matter the position you hold, let the influence of your Heavenly Father come upon you, and you will walk in His favor. Because my Father is no respecter of persons. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So if God will bring favor on my life, He will bring favor on your life. And Dad, no matter the dilemma you face today, let me testify, in every dilemma I've ever encountered, my Father came and rescued me every single time. So I'm here on this Father's Day to encourage you and encourage our dads. If you're facing a dilemma, I know a God, I know a Father who comes and rescues you. I was trying to keep my composure because it's Father's Day, but something's happening in here, folks. I know we're not having church as usual. Some of our Sundays have just exploded on Sunday night, and God's taking us to a brand new normal. I know who my Father is, and I know what He wants to do in our hearts. A father will not allow his children to starve while he sits down to a nice meal. If there's to be any inconvenience, it will be on his part. He will sacrifice to make sure you're taken care of. You see, you're not seeing me fatigued. I was fatigued when my heart valve, aortic valve, was not working the way it should have. But no more fatigue. And so when you see me, you see my Father's strength made perfect in weakness. Dad, you may have a dilemma. I've had more than my share. But if my Father can make me strong, you can be made strong. And if I'm strong, you can be strong. When I'm in a dilemma and you're strong, I can be strong. With God's help and years of His downloading into my spirit, I just want to serve as a Joseph to God's people. I want to be able to bring enough impact for His people to see that our God is still God. He still cares about you. He still cares about your family, no matter what you're facing. And understand, I serve the God who can turn everything around in your life. Now, I don't attempt to run your business. You run your business with the gifts that God gave to you. But I do want to present you with a God who, when factored in, will impact your business with His favor. The Pharaoh had enough humility to say, I am the Pharaoh. But Joseph, God has given you a gift, and it will save the lives of many people. It will secure our economy and the economy of the rest of the world. I'm putting you in charge of this process. And at the end of these years of seven, I want us to have been sustained. I want our land to be good. And I look at the needs we have at Calvary. We're spending lots of money these days. The larger expenditures only serve to increase the value of our campus so that when we move, that's all recouped and then some. But there are things that we need to do to get things up to speed, things that we've been behind in, not because that we haven't been able to pay for them, but we just need to get them there and push the ball forward. And I look at the numbers, and I look at all the things that seem to converge at one time that need to be fixed and changed and upgraded and brought into the 21st century. And the good news is the money is available. The bad news is it's still in your pockets, okay? Yeah, okay. So you can make your checks out to Calvary Christian Center for the special projects that we have, for the new screens that we want in here, and the live streaming and all the things that we're trying to get done. So take on a project. I had one do that this week who called me and said, I know you need a specific element to make some things happen with that project. He said, I'll take care of it and install it, and it's all on me. So that's the way God's people should respond. So I believe God. I believe there's something going on in our house. I believe this is going to be an amazing year, a fantastic year. Father, protector, and provider is in the house, and my Father will take care of Calvary Christian Center into the next dimension. And the Lord Jesus Christ will build his church. So let's celebrate that in faith. What God's going to do and will do for us in this year. When we see the goodness of God, when we embrace the plans he has for us individually and collectively, some of his children will be motivated to sow. And when you do, his garment of favor will come upon your life. So I decree and I declare that poverty will not rule over your life. I believe something will break in our lives this year, that the day has arrived, this house is shifting into a new dimension, and someone has made up his mind or her mind, we are not going to remain as we have been. Our Father has given us a dream, and we are supposed to be about going after that dream, and we're heading for that dream, and if we have our Father's dream, why not obtain that dream? So Joseph interprets the dreams for the Pharaoh. And Joseph said to the Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. And God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And Joseph describes the type of a person needed to administrate and navigate the nation's economy. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh knew, I'm looking at him. You're the man. And Joseph then is put into a position that he's giving instruction to the Pharaoh for the sustaining of the land. And he looks at Pharaoh after he's been appointed a second in command in all of Egypt. He said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So Joseph is giving the Pharaoh direction. Pharaoh's eager to hear it. Joseph saves the nation. Joseph saves the rest of the world by storing up in that season of plenty for the season of famine. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. It's amazing how God planned all this. And there's something coming your way. Don't judge where you're going by where you've been. Father has provision and protection for his people. God's will is that you run debt out of town. Amen? And proven statistics. I just received them this week. Every church, an interesting stat that came out, published. Whatever's going on in the home and its leadership will bleed over into the church. If they don't manage finances well at home, they won't manage finances well in the church. Funny how it works like that, huh? Dads, learn how to be a good provider and extend that to being a good manager of what God has allowed you. Learn from Joseph. Learn from God's word. Learn the wisdom of the Lord. And how you manage at home will find its way in how you sow into God's kingdom. Because if you're a poor manager at home, you'll have nothing to sow in the kingdom. What God helps you to know and do personally, then he'll help us to do and know collectively. So dad, speak to that debt. Tell it you're canceling it while simultaneously putting God first in your finances. God wants to be able to trust you with more than enough to provide and protect your family. God has more than enough resources to cancel the plans of your adversary. Well, Pastor, you don't know how much debt I have. Saints, you don't know how much provision my Heavenly Father has. And Dad, if you'll submit yourself fully to the Lordship of Jesus, he will assist you to become like his Father, a provider and a protector. You see, I just read, study, and believe God's word. This story of Joseph is reality to me. The internet and social media may be reality to you, but when I read this book, reality sets in. And on this Father's Day, we will set our course for all that God has for us at home and at Calvary Christian Center. I was looking at an article that I received this week as well, written by well-known author Larry Tomczak. And he says, there's a great crisis in America and manhood. He said, quoting Ezekiel, I sought for a man among them who would build up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it, and I found no one. God speaking there. I'm looking for a man. I can't find any. And that's a hard statement, isn't it? And God's calling men, the article goes on to say, to rise up to fulfill our destinies as authentic men aligned with the master plan God has for manliness. And today, fatherlessness is epidemic. We've reached a crisis of manhood in America. Larry said, on our college campuses, we now even have classes called Rethink Masculinity, pushed by the leftists, neutering men until masculinity is airbrushed out of the picture. Let me quote Chuck Swindoll. He said, masculinity is vanishing. Throughout the land, fathers have lost their way to true manhood and have thrown responsibility to the wind. Sex roles are blurring. Masculine leadership is disappearing. And like dominoes, homes and marriages are collapsing. Dr. Dobson says, quote, the Western world stands at a great crossroads in its history. In my opinion, our very survival as a people will depend on the presence or absence of masculine leadership in millions of homes. So I'm looking at this article, and Larry goes on to say something very interesting. I like this. He said, we have three cultural counterfeits of masculinity now in America. The macho man, the Spanish term for machismo. And here, masculinity is expressed as independence, headstrong. No, we're dependent men. A real man of God is fully dependent on the Lord. And he says, these contemporary conquistadors boast of biceps and sexual prowess, suppressing fear and vulnerability. They dress, drive, walk, talk, curse, chew, fight, and fornicate before foolish, fawning females who think that's what a man should look like. Then he says there's the marshmallow man. Got a lot of those in our culture too. He's Mr. Nice Guy, a couch potato, a passive wimp. In actuality, he's a renegade, having reneged on his duty as a man's man, following the image of Christ. This guy is more of a responder than an activator. He procrastinates by putting off tomorrow what he's already put off today. Then there's the mixed up man. Having adopted a unisex gender blending identity, this mishmash of man is a sad specimen, Larry says. He is a girly man, embodying feminine and masculine traits. And he said, whenever I see pictures of this kind of a category, I wonder what shape shifter shifted them into this androgynous person that they have become. I thought, wow, very well and insightful on the part of Larry Tomczak. And then men of God, he says, manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. Our model men should be none other than Jesus himself. Unfortunately, the person of Jesus in artwork have conjured up pictures of a poker-faced, wimpy killjoy who never smiles, who is emaciated with chubby little cherubs floating around him playing harps. But imagine, though, a man with 20 years of carpentry work behind him in his physical strength, who walked miles in the heat and sun, ministering to crowds of thousands, addressing them without amplification. Visualize Jesus not just grabbing a whip, but constructing a whip to go into the temple and drive out those who would pervert the house of God. Visualize Jesus with the boys on the dock, the fishermen, as he goes and takes these burly guys, drop your nets and come after me. And use your sanctified imagination to ponder the horrific flogging he took, the beating he took in his body. If you have never pictured that in your mind, go purchase a copy, download a copy of The Passion of the Christ. And Larry says we have a weak nation because we have weak churches. We have weak churches because we have weak families. We have weak families because we have weak men, never challenged with the true biblical standard. That was, by the way, Bill Gothard's quote. So he says to us in Scripture, watch, stand fast in the faith, be bold like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. Thank you, Lord. That's a picture of godly men. I was looking at something this week, and it dawned on me that 23 years ago today on Father's Day, a revival broke out in Brownsville, Florida, Assembly of God. And I thought, wow, Lord, you did something that really got the attention of the world in that day as it touched the hearts of thousands and thousands of people. And we saw Steve Hill bring so many hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus. That will be minor compared to the restoration that God has planned and bringing upon us today. God is restoring. God is bringing his kingdom authority. God is bringing his unity. God is bringing healing. God is bringing us provision. Everything God promised us is for today. And we need men of God who are Christ-like to step up and fill the responsibility roles that God has given you as provider and protector. Dad, you are destined to lead your home in the last day move of the Holy Spirit. This move will be an outpouring. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, resulting in, for behold, the day is coming to you who fear my name. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Thank you, Lord. That's his promise. Grab that for your family. And let me be transparent. I never desired a platform, ever. I didn't look for opportunities to get on stage when I was a kid. That never drove me. I just had a heart to serve the master. But there was something that was needed that God made me to know that I didn't comprehend. So God placed his hand on my life. And I was pushed from the background to the forefront, not because I desired it, but because God needed it. And when Jesus sent his disciples to procure the colt for him to ride into Jerusalem, he said it like this: if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. Some think people think the Lord has no need, but he does. He needs you, Dad. He needs you to step up. He needs you to step in. He needs you to be provider and protector. When I stepped into this role, it was because the Lord had a need. Calvary Christian Center didn't need me. God had need of me. And Dad, your wife, your children, your lineage has need of you as protector and provider, to be as your heavenly Father to your family. God has need of you. And if you're the need meter, if you're the answer, God will meet the needs of your family, and he'll meet the needs of Calvary Christian Center. Why? Because the need has been met and provided for. So today we ought to celebrate with high praise, because the need has been met. God has provided. I said, the need has been met. Thank you, Lord. It says in Genesis 41, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house, the negative experiences he had. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph had been in a bad place, but God turned his season with favor. Dad, he'll do the same thing for you. No matter what's happened, no matter what the past has been, God is never out of the battle, ever. Instead of talking about how bad life is, talk about how good God is. In a land that had brought Joseph great affliction, God gave him children and blessed him with a future and a lineage. Listen, we go through battles, but when we enter those battles, we know who has already won. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. So, Dad, whatever you've been fighting and whatever you've been embroiled in before, and even to this day, I declare over your life, victory is yours. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. And allow the favor of God to rest on your life, to rest on your household, to rest on your seed, to rest on your spouse, to rest on your business, to rest on your labor. I decree raises. I decree promotion. I decree you're not overlooked. I decree you're coming out of that prison. I decree that every man once locked down is free indeed. Never again are you to struggle with your identity. And never again are you to be concerned that when you walk into a circumstance as to whether or not you qualify. Never again when you awaken will you wonder, should I quit today? No, you step up. Your educational level will not stop you. Your color will not stop you. Nothing will prevent you from the success God's destined for you. I declare over every one of you the favor of the Lord. Every area where you've been blocked, I declare double for your trouble. And in the political realm, I declare breakthrough in our community, in our state. God will turn it around. God has repaired what's been broken in your life. And God has covered you with security because he is your provider and your protector. Amen. Ladies, your men didn't come into the world to take sides. God has willed that they take their authority and love and live and lead like Jesus. Dad, you will love your wife as Jesus has loved his church. And I love you more today, 51 years later, than I did that night in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And as for you and your house, your children will serve the Lord. Will. It's kind of like the dad I showed you at the start of the service. Oh, it's okay. You can stay home. You don't have to go to church with us today. No, that's not the godly dad. It's the godly dad who says, we're going to church. You're living under my roof. You're eating my food. You're using my cell phone because I'm buying it. You're coming to church. And wives, you will respect and honor your husband. That's how God wants us to live. And when we live like that, we'll have phenomenal homes again and families. We'll have a phenomenal church made up of families like that. And we'll rock this community like it hasn't been rocked in a long time. So let's stand together, everybody.